It's 107.7 The Bone, Baby Huey and Bimbo Jimbo here. And Jimbo, look at this. Wrestling is back in the Bay Area. There's going to be a big show this Saturday, May 20th. Big Time Wrestling presents their big super show at Newark Memorial High School. It's going to be this Saturday, May 20th. Get your tickets now at btwrestling.com. And we have one of the stars from the show on the line with us.
That's right. You know her from WWE's two-time women's champion, Victoria. In TNA, she was a five-time Knockouts champion, Ostara. We have Lisa Marie Varon on with us. Lisa, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. Are you guys going to be there May 20th?
Yes, we will be.
Absolutely. Wouldn't miss it.
It's a fabulous card because Tito, Santana's there, Hornswoggle. There's going to be a lot of great talent. And, you know, it's nice to go to these independent wrestlings because you get to see, like, the future superstars, work in the indie circuit and you see them succeed. So, you become kind of proud, like a proud mom. You know what I mean?
Totally. No, we're really excited because just a little backstory here. So a couple weekends ago, Jimbo and I had the pleasure of meeting you in person at the Cow Palace. And so it was really fun just to get to talk to you in person. We appreciate you making the time for us back then and even today. So, and you actually admitted to us that you're actually going to be planning on moving to the Bay Area in the near future. So with that being said, does that mean we're going to see you a lot more wrestling here in the Bay Area?
Well, let's hope so. There's a big indie circuit out there, I heard, right, that Kurt runs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm most likely be moving to Petaluma with my boyfriend. So he got a job offer out there. So we're going to make the big move. And I'm super excited for, it's going to be a new adventure, a new chapter in Lisa's life.
Absolutely. And welcome to the Bay Area to you. That's going to be great. And like you said, the indie scene is awesome here. We're very proud of it in the Bay Area. And that's going to continue this Saturday with the BTW Super Show. But I wanted to jump back to the start of your career in pro wrestling because I had read this online a while back, but I wanted to see if it was true that you sort of got your start in pro wrestling because of a chance meeting with China at a gym, and she sort of convinced you to switch gears and get into the wrestling world. Can you tell us more about that? Is that true? And just how did that sort of all materialize?
Absolutely. Tori Wilson, Trish Stratus, and myself were friends prior to that from fitness industry. We used to compete, and we did the tour circuit with the fitness and bodybuilding and all those kind of competition circuits. So Tori was at WCW, and she brought me backstage, and I was like, "What the heck are you doing? Like, you walk a guy out to the ring. What is this all about?" And the stepping stone was fitness. And she was trying to get me into WCW, and of course that wasn't going so well. They went out of business and stuff like that. And was working at a gym called Crunch in West Hollywood, in California. China came in, and they charged her to come into the gym. And I was like, "What are you doing? That's China." But of course, you got to realize that West Hollywood, there was a ton of celebrities that went into that gym,
Yeah.
They were like, "I don't care who you are. They pay the, the guest fee." So I went up to her. I just gave her a stack of guest passes and said, "This is silly. Why, next time use these or if you're in town." And she asked, I said, "I have a couple of friends that are in the industry." And I said, "I know Trish Stratus and, Tori Wilson." And she's like, "Wow, are you a wrestler?" And I go, "No, but I think I can do what the guys do, like Rob Van Dam and Rey Mysterio." She goes, "Wow, you have a really good look for it." And I go, "Oh, really?" And she goes, "Yeah, you should really look into it." And I sent my stuff in, my 8x10s, my resume from competing and, my college and all that kind of stuff. And I spent, there was a VHS, this is how long ago, okay? Right. I just paged myself, but I paid $600 to put this 5-minute tryout video together in LA. You have everything at your fingertips there.
Yeah.
Edits and everything. I had special effects added, where I'm punching the screen and it go, "Lisa Marie Varon." And then, and it was so cool. I was very proud of it.
Do you still have it?
I'm sure it's in my storage somewhere. I have got to find it. I have a storage in Chicago, also one here in California.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for my big truck to be delivered from Chicago because I've moved so much that I'm like, wait before sending my stuff to where I'm going to be a little bit more permanent,
Gotcha.
So, So I sent my stuff in and I got a call in a couple of days and they, Kevin Kelly and Jim Ross, JR, said that they never seen a tryout video so professionally done.
Wow.
And the package that I sent in was very, living in LA, everybody's an actor and an actress and trying to make it. So I assumed everybody presented themselves like that. And this is a lesson for everybody that's in the indie scene. You got to present yourself how you want to be treated. And, do you know what I mean? You have to invest in yourself to make it. So, and next thing I know it, they said, hey, we're going to be in Los Angeles at the Staples Center. We would like to meet you. And I said, well, what do you see me doing? I'm obviously not a Tori Wilson or a Trish Stratus physique kind of gal. I'm a little bit more muscular. And they said, we actually see you wrestle. And I was like, oh, boy. And they asked me if I had any experience. And I said, well, my three older brothers were amateur wrestlers. But
cool.
I was like, but I am a tomboy, gym rat and stuff like that. So they said, well, we want to meet you in 30 days. And got off the phone, Googled pro wrestling school, and went to the school and told them I needed to learn how to wrestle in 28 days. And they beat the crap out of me. There was not one girl in there. And we did clothesline drills, which I don't know how to bump. You got to take that in.
Yeah.
And so, and I ended up staying at that school for a little bit. And then the Godfather Ho spot opened up. And
I was there in Anaheim.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And, of course, I didn't tell my mom and dad what the Godfather Ho was all about. I just told them that we're party girls that get the crowd all hyped up.
And, not wrong.
But, right. So, but that's how it happened. It was right time, right place, right time. And, I had a lot of people telling me that, I didn't have the it factor. I wasn't going to make it, which really made me work really hard. And, no one tells me what I can and cannot do. Yeah. And proved them wrong. And I'm still, my gosh, I'm still wrestling to this day.
You're still doing it.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned something that, when you were talking with China that you think you could do what the boys do. And that's something I sort of a follow up here is, you were one of those people that when you came into WWE and stuff like that, you were both sexy and a badass. And so do you take sort of pride now in how the women's division is being treated really across the board in pro wrestling, not just WWE? You were kind of a pioneer putting women's wrestling, put the wrestling into women's wrestling and the storytelling in the 2000s there. Is that something that you sort of look back on and be like, I kind of helped open up some doors?
You know what? It's, I was just talking about this to my boyfriend this morning, how the different generations, Mae and Moolah, the pioneers that came backstage, to even just when they're town, we would go up and shake their hands and just say, thank you so much for paving the way. And even though they didn't do double headers at the, two matches in one show, now that they're doing in the NXT, female division is totally ruling. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to say, I think every era is a thank you, and I was extremely thankful for being in that golden era, working with such girls, like Trish, Jazz, Molly Holly. Oh, my gosh. There's so many. Gail Kim, Austin Kong. There were so many people that, my generation, we didn't want to be the best match, the best female wrestling match. We wanted to be the best match on the card.
Yeah.
We didn't care if it was female or male. We just wanted to rule the whole wrestling industry. So we would get to the building, 3 hours earlier than call time, and get in the ring with Fit Finley, Arn Anderson, Ricky Steamboat. All these legends that were willing to, spend time, Lance Storm spent extra time, Tommy Dreamer, of course, Stevie Richards. We got in the ring to practice our craft and make it better and build on what we already knew. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So I'm very proud of what we put on the table. And a lot of that goes to Fit Finley. Fit Finley is what made our roster so strong and powerful. He was given the girls division as, he was new in the WWF, WWE. And they said, you're going to be in charge of the female division. And he goes, I think it was, who wants to deal with the females, right? Mm-hmm. And he goes, okay, you're going to give me the females. They're going to kick ass. They're going to dominate. And he truly took us under our wing and practiced with him for, you know, going over matches and stuff like that. It was no joke. I mean, he did not hold back. I mean, if you take a clothesline from him, you'll survive any clothesline. You can survive any move. He was not easy on us at all. And there was no excuses. And I was in a division. I mean, I think just like now we all want to be, you know, everyone to be proud of not just the female division, just of wrestling in general, you know? So, yeah. That's a long answer, isn't it?
No, love it. It was terrific. I mean, it's just so great talking to you. I mean, I was thinking on the ride into work today, just thinking about like when you first burst onto the scene outside of sort of like, you know, the Godfather of the Ho Train thing, but your Titantron, just like, you know, it was such a unique thing. I mean, you were like the original sort of crazy chick kind of gimmick even before AJ was, you know, like your head spinning around in the Titantron and like the eyeball and the palm and stuff like that. I was like, man, like those, and like your feud with Trish is just such an indelible memory for me as a wrestling fan. So it's just cool to sort of, you know, get to relive some of it with you and talk about, you know, how you got there.
Yeah, I think like interviews like this make you appreciate what you've done, because I think we all live in like in our own little bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And just like we forget, like, you know, we don't realize who watches wrestling. And, you know, like, for example, I went to the swap meet yesterday and someone was like, are you Victoria? And you forget that people watch you, you know, it's just like, and to get the appreciation from fans for your hard work. It's amazing. I also studied a lot of Ivory and Sherry Martel.
Yeah.
So the craziness came from you know, from them too, you know, a lot of studying of VHS. That was part of my wrestling, you know, we needed to learn the legends. We needed to learn who paved the way, learn psychology of the match and stuff like that. And, you know, how I got that crazy gimmick was Fit Finley would watch us wrestle and he goes, you would play a real good crazy. He goes, you're really crazy out there. And I go, well, I thought my crazy was intensity. I was just trying to be a little bit more intense. And then, like, you know, and learning in Memphis style wrestling is very over exaggerated moves. Just so if you're not on TV, the people behind the last row can see exactly what you're doing.
Uh-huh.
So that was how I had to work. And then I had to like learn how to tone it down. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay. Gotcha.
I was so over the top, you know, but, It is, you know, when you look back and like do these kind of interviews, you really appreciate what you've done. And it is kind of shocking that I feel like I should be 80 years old doing I've done a lot in my life. You know what I mean? And when you guys remember all these things, it's gratitude. You know, for me, I'm like, gosh, that makes me feel so good. You know, I did my job. You guys were entertained.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear a lot of fans like, oh, you should be inducted in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And this and that. And I'm like, you know what? Honestly, that'd be awesome. Don't get me wrong. But I hear from the fans how much they appreciate my matches. They remember mm-hmm. matches I don't even remember. Do you remember this? Do you remember that? That's the appreciation. When you did your job and they believed your character, they were 100% behind you in every single match and they were emotionally invested in everything we'd done. That's the reward right there. I don't need that ring to tell me I was a good wrestler.
Absolutely.
I hear it from the fans.
Yeah, you're a Hall of Famer in the hearts of fans everywhere, Victoria.
That's it. Exactly. That's yes. I need to make that a shirt. Thank you.
Hey, our pleasure.
Well, so also just looking back on it now, when or even how did you know that was your time, the time was right for you to leave the WWE?
To leave?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I still had 2 more years on my contract, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it was happening where when I was, you know, walking to the car, you know, backstage, and you know how like there's fans waiting by the gate and stuff like that to get your autograph, and there were, you know, and I was doing guest appearances and autograph signings, and people were like going, "Oh my gosh, it's so sad that you're losing every match. You can totally tell that you're working hard to put, you know, it takes two to have a good match. You know, it's like, you know, if I get a rookie, there's only so much I can do. I'm not a magician. I can't make them a great wrestler. I can do what I can. I can lead them, make them feel more confident in the ring. That was my my forte. That was what my longevity in the business was. I was good with rookies. I can tell on their face when they were scared, deer in headlights look. I can make them feel, you know, I wasn't one of those girls that are like, okay, welcome to my house. I'm going to beat the hell out of you to teach you respect. I wasn't that way. You know, if I was going to beat them up, you know, that's a lousy match. No one's going to be entertained by that. But the fans were not believing the matches. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I didn't want to be one of the wrestlers retired and bitter and talking so negative about the business.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I still loved it. I still watched it. And I truly thought I was going to be done with wrestling. And when I started watching TNA, Gail Kim and Austin Kong, their feud reignited and reminded me of Trish Stratus and myself. And
interesting.
You know, some of the girls. Yeah. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't faced any of those girls. ODB, you know, the beautiful people, like there was another division that I was just intrigued by. And I was like, wow. And then 30 days, no compete clause came up and they called me, wanted me part of their roster. And I said, you know, let me give it a year. You know, they wanted to sign me within 3 days. And I was like, wait, I need to get a lawyer to look at the contract. This is completely different. You know, wait, I can't make a decision in 3 days, you know. But I did. I made a decision. And they wanted to sign me for 3 years. And I just said, let's do a year. Let me just, you know, let me make sure I love it. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And I'm a good fit for it. And then I was there for almost 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so that's what made me back away from wrestling. I, you know, when the fans stopped believing it, even though, you know, you don't want, you know that Santa Claus is not real, but you don't want to be told Santa Claus is not real.
Totally.
You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like our craft, you know, you want people to still believe in it. And when that starts dwindling, I'm not doing my job. And I'm like, I need to kind of walk away while I'm still hot and people still think I'm a badass. Like
yeah.
You guys,
so you just hit a little bit of a reset.
Exactly. And when I went to TNA, you know, I told him, I go, you give me any match, I promise you I'm going to give you 110%. And I go, you know, you give me a cage match. And, of course, we had two cage matches there and a lot of hardcore, a lot of street fights. And, yeah, so I had a great time. I made a lot of friends. I'm really lucky that I'm still involved in it. And a lot of my friends tell me, are you still wrestling? Good God, when are you going to hang your boots? And I'm like, I'm sorry. I still am passionate about this and I still love what I do, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm more into, I enjoy watching indie wrestling. I just like to watch in the crowd. And
nice.
That's why when you guys came up to talk to me, I don't go to the backstage to watch. I like to be out there. That's why everybody was like, you know, they said, you don't have to stand out here to, at your autograph. I go, no, I want to watch the matches. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I still love it.
That's cool. Well, so just talking about that now. So you've been on the indie scene for a while now, which we all know it's just thriving so much. Is that surprise to you at all that how big indie scene is going right now? And to me, it's only getting better.
Well, you know what? It's like, look, where are they getting all the talent from the indie circuit? And it's almost comical where, you know, I was going to PWG. I was going to a lot of the indie scenes here in California. Oh, gosh. Chikara Pro. Oh, my gosh. There's just so many other. AAW, like in Chicago, is a big indie circuit, too.
Yeah.
I was going to those, and it's almost like a cult following where they think, like, the fans are like, it's much cooler to be a fan of the indie circuit instead of following the man, like the big corporate, you know, that's the vibe I got, you know what I mean? And when you go to these indie scenes, you know, I can look in the ring and go, that guy's going to be signed. That guy's going to be signed right away. You know what I mean? And, it's really neat to see, you know, cause Daniel Bryan, you know, Dragon, I still call him Dragon, like in Memphis, like look how big his name became, you know, he came from the Japanese indie scene. You know, it's just, it's amazing. And I think like when you're watching shows that like at PWG, they don't have barriers.
Yeah.
You know, there's no rope. And literally, I remember my first time, you know, of course I wanted to be front row and because I wanted to be part of the show too. Because I'm still a fan. I'm still a fan, God damn it.
That's beautiful.
Right. Isn't it?
No, that's the way it should be.
They should do suicide dives and they would come out to the crowd. And I have never experienced anything like that. And I would sit by this guy named John Carl. He was a writer at WWF and WWE. And he would get me tickets. I would, because he would stay up at 3 a.m. to be the first person to purchase a ticket.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a hardcore following.
It is. And it's exciting.
Yeah, it makes Hugh and I happy because it sort of is like what we can only imagine what it must have been like back in the territory days and everything like that. So it's
yeah.
it's like, it's awesome to see that there are so many avenues for professional wrestlers to ply their craft. And I mean, we love going to indie shows sort of for like what you said, that we could go up and we can thank people. We can tell them how much their work meant to us and how much, you know, or how great we think they are and how great we think they're going to be, like for the young guys and stuff like that. So we love the indie scene. And like we said, we're very proud of it, especially here in the Bay Area. So this Saturday, the BTW Super Show, can't wait to see that. But I want to just ask a question, because, you know, fantasy booking and everything like that, I feel like every wrestling fan has like sort of that in the back of their mind. But who's somebody going today, like in WWE, that you'd want to have a match with?
Gosh, there's so many. Of course, Charlotte.
That was the first one that popped to my head, too.
Of course. I remember Ric Flair calling me. This is a mark-out moment, and I know we don't use that term very much, but I'm going to be honest. I'm a mark. I'm a huge mark.
We are, too. It's cool. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm guilty, too, so I wouldn't say people use that as a derogatory term. I don't think it is. We're all marks, and Ric Flair called me. I was in Chicago at the time. He asked me if I would fly to Charlotte to train his daughter, you know.
Wow.
And this was when I had the restaurant and I couldn't go back and forth. I don't know what happened, but I couldn't do it. But, you know, having Ric Flair, come on, thinking that you're one of the best to come and train his daughter, you know. And
that is some high praise.
Right? Completely. He's amazing. And we're still tight to this day. He'll occasionally I'll get a text just thinking about you, honey, you know, that kind of thing. And also, you know, Paige. Soraya Knight, baby girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That I was with their organization in Norwich, England, and that was cool. Bellatrix and WAW. And that family, they're hardcore wrestlers. If someone ever said phony wrestling up there.
Yeah.
I'll give you firsthand. She popped my eardrum. My jaw got dislocated.
What?
It's not phony. It's no joke there.
A little snug.
And that family, no wonder Paige is so tough.
Yeah.
It's in the blood. But gosh, Bailey is one of my favorites. Sasha Banks. There's so many talented girls up there. You know, of course, I've had a rival with Natty Neidhart. Was very short. We are more tag team, but she's an amazing wrestler. There's so many. I'm really proud of today's generation. You know, they are making everybody proud. You know,
definitely.
I think the difference is people are like, oh, you think you can handle like keeping up with the girls now, and they work extremely fast. In my era, storytelling is part of the match, is taking time, you know, you take a break, mm-hmm. show your face, you know, because your face tells a lot about a match, you know. Mine is more stalking, more a little bit slower work pace, not just go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not used to that. That's what I'm not used to in the indie circuit. When I went to PWG, like the first match was suicide dives, and I'm like, oh, my, this is too soon in the match. I'm so embarrassed to say this, but I didn't make it to the semi match or the main event match in the PWG, the four occasions I went. I was exhausted. I had nothing. I was so hyped up on the edge of my seat, and I was like exhausted by the last match. I was like, I don't want people to see me exhausted and be rude or yawn them thinking I think it's a boring match. I was just like, it drained me. I was like, you know, in my era, you know, the first match, we're not allowed to go outside the ring. We cannot go outside the ring. You know, you keep it in the ring, and then we build. Every match gets a little bit different, and then it gets more dangerous. You know what I mean? That was the psychology back then.
Yeah.
But now it's a little fast for me, where I'm like, what is going on? And then they'll pause. I'm like, oh, thank God they pause. Because it takes time for you to digest, you know? That's the only difference. I don't know. I would get really winded, I think. I'd get blown up in the ring.
Oh, I think you can adjust. I believe in you. But, you know, one thing, I mean, you've had such a cool career, and you've done so many different things. You mentioned your restaurant, which I know you don't have in Chicago anymore.
Right.
But as somebody that grew up in the restaurant business, my dad was a chef and restaurateur. Any chance that we're going to get a Squared Circle Bay Area edition happening anytime, or at least maybe, you know, I don't know, California one? I know you got family down south, because yeah, we certainly love to go.
You never know. There is something in work, but it's not. I'm not
at liberty to say.
Yeah. You never know.
Well, if you need a bartender, holla.
Or a hostess,
oh, yeah.
I'll help out.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. That'd be awesome. But, you know, like ODB has a food truck in Florida, you know, with her whole logo. She sells her barbecue sauce. It's really cool to see people succeed outside of wrestling. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I think we get such a bad reputation, like people failing when we retire or when we're done, that mm-hmm. when you see people succeed without being in the industry, it's a proud moment. You know, like, you know, ODB is still, you know, successful. JR with his barbecue sauce. It's nice. It's nice to see.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we will keep on the watch for what you got coming next. But you just in listening to you talk, as the last one for you and everything, just your mind. Do you think when you finally are done wrestling, do you think that you would maybe want to be a trainer? Because it sounds like you have such a heart for that and such an eye for talent. Is that something that maybe you've thought about?
Okay, well, yeah, WWE did contact me about training, and then I never heard back from them. I followed up with phone calls, and then they ended up, you know, they went with Sarah Stock, Sarita, which she's an amazing wrestler as well. And I never heard back, but no, I've always thought I'd be a good fit to be a trainer. I like watching the female wrestlers in the indie circuit and giving them feedback, and because I know what WWE. You know, it's different working on TV than an indie crowd. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I do think I have a lot to offer as a trainer. I will retire when my body says, I can't do this, or the crowd says, remember when? That's the time when I'm going to hang up my boots.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, I always am flattered when girls come up to me and say, you know, hey, can you watch my match? And there's guys that do that, that come up, can you watch my match and give me feedback and be critical. And I did a training seminar in New York, and it was really neat. They said they never had that many people in a training seminar.
That's
awesome. And it was, it was so cool. And the guys were like, thank you so much. I learned a lot. And, you know, I don't have a filter. I'm not looking to get hired again. So I was just being completely honest and blunt. I'm going to tell you how it is. You know what I mean? So,
and that's a really good trait to have for these people who are trying to make it.
Right. Right. And, they should be lucky that the indie circuit is so strong too. You know what I mean? That people want to see indie shows. So they do have another platform. You know, if they don't make it to the big leagues, or WWE or TNA or, you know, or Ring of Honor, you know, it's, there's other indie shows that you could, you know, you can wrestle. And unfortunately, the pay is not that great. You know, that's the stinky part. But, you know,
But you can follow your dream and your passion still, though.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Well,
yeah. Oh, but also, we haven't even touched base. I'm wrestling Katie Lee.
Yes.
Beautiful Nightmare on the 20th.
Yeah.
And,
so, yeah.
She's one of my favorite competitors. Yeah, she's pretty crazy out there as well. I never know what she's gonna do. It's hard because I can't read her body language, so I'm always like a surprise what she's gonna do next. So I'm super excited to wrestle her. You know, so it's been a while, so we're gonna bring up some new stuff and some old stuff.
We can't wait to see it.
Yeah, no, we're really excited to go out there this Saturday and watch you compete. It's going to be an awesome show because also WWE Hall of Famer Tito Santana is going to be there. Rey Fénix from Lucha Underground. Hornswoggle, Yoshi Tatsu is going to be there. So just the list of stars is amazing. So Jimbo and I are super excited to get out there for BTW Super Show Saturday, May 20th at Newark Memorial High School. It's also going to be a big fundraiser for Newark Autism. So get there early, 5 o'clock, the meet and greet start. The first bell is at 7:30, but get your tickets ASAP at btwrestling.com. And Lisa, listen, thank you so much for making the time today. We could talk to you forever, but just we love talking to you.
You can't shut me up when it comes to wrestling. I apologize.
We do look forward to doing that this Saturday. So if you want to follow Lisa online, you can follow her on Facebook at Real Lisa Marie Varon, also Twitter and Instagram at Real Lisa Marie. Listen, thank you so much for making the time today. We really appreciate it, and we're looking at hanging out with you this Saturday.
Thank you so much. And I think your Facebook, it was incorrect. I'm not sure exactly what my Facebook address is, but definitely follow me on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay.
And so it's Real Lisa Marie. And,
got it.
But I do have a Facebook. I just don't know the exact address.
I'll put the link up at 1077thebone.com so everyone can click there and follow you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And I look forward also to Tito Santana.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. amazing man.
Legend.
I had the opportunity to travel with him from one on a tour from, you know, it was the indie scene. And his stories were so fascinating because he told, like, you know, with his travel days, you know, they were on the road 30 days, you know? And so he's an amazing guy and he's very humble and it's nice to see that, you know?
Definitely.
But, I'm super excited to see you guys Saturday.
Totally.
Absolutely. This was an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, seriously. This was really just a great time talking to you and just reliving all this history that Jimbo and I grew up watching. We love it.
Thank you guys so much.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. And we'll see you this Saturday. Okay.
Okay. Take care.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.